Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 54, Bike and Run Testing. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. To be your best, you've got to do the test.
Oh, it's a good one. I'm glad you're back doing these, Doug. And
I'm hoping people aren't listening to the old ones because I think I might have used it before.
I'm glad that we can do some of this by video too, because to see that facial hair growth is so impressive that, yeah, no one's going to recognize you soon.
If only they knew that you'd told me to turn the video off so that we could do the podcast. Was that for technical reasons or because you didn't want to see my mush?
Yeah, I just had enough of that.
Well, here we are again, podcasting from separate locations, embracing technology during lockdown. And how are you getting on?
Yep, going pretty well here. That as for everyone, life is a bit different. But from chatting to people in the team, that most people seem to have settled into it and kind of figured out some routines and how they're doing things now. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. I think we talked about it a little while ago about trying to find a routine and a schedule and some constants that are a bit like the work life. You know, Monday to Friday, you know, just getting up, not if not sleeping in, but you know, that fitting in the training, whatever training you can do, and trying not to get too hung up on the fact that I'm not out on the road properly or can't get to the pool. Although, you know me well enough, that's probably not the worst thing in the world. But just looking for that, I suppose, just consistency and getting into a bit of a routine. It's a bit of an overused word, but I think routine allows you to sort of keep mildly sane because you know what to expect.
Look, I think you're absolutely right. But what's interesting is that hopefully by this time next week, is we'll have a pretty good picture about what comes after lockdown and when that will be. And that's going to disrupt the routine again. We're going to have to find a new routine. And so there's kind of a bit of a process to go through ongoing, I think, with just adapting and finding the new normal and settling into the way things are each time we have a change come along.
Yeah, and sometimes when it drops a level, it'll be interesting to see the things that excite us at this time of year, like maybe getting out on the bike on the road and or being able to run off-road, whether that be on your own or as a group. They may not be part of level 3, but there will be some things that change. So, yeah, you're right. It'll be, the new abnormal, I think I might call it.
Yeah.
But, hey, we, again, to those, some of the comments and advice you gave a couple of weeks ago, it's about just taking them on board, making them part of everyday life as much as you can, so that you know your physical and mental health are being looked after as best they can.
And that's a good point, actually, because I mentioned before catching up with people in the squad and hearing how people are settling in, but there has definitely been a range of experiences in that. Some people were quite thrown to start with, and it really disrupted the routine. And it took a while to settle into the new routine and not be frustrated about being at home and getting back into the training.
Social animals.
Yeah,
you know, we're
yeah.
social animals predominantly. Yes, some of us, most of us, like some of our own time occasionally, but you know, predominantly, it's we like to be around other people. And this has made that, although we are around other people and we love them dearly, nice to
have some other people.
Yeah, get out and about with some people that I'm not related to.
There are others in the squad though who they went kind of the other extreme, and it was full on. And okay, I'm going to do every press up challenge I can. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do an 8-week maximum effort cycling plan. And there's those people as well. And I think most have settled into a bit of an equilibrium. So those who got a bit excited at the start have just settled into what's, sustainable. And those who had a bit of a slower start have been working up to what their sustainable is. And I won't say I predicted that at all. I won't do a Donald Trump, but I very purposefully didn't try and put too much on everyone with the training to start with. A couple of reasons that for most of us, it was the end of the season that we were lucky enough to have Ironman in 70.3, only a matter of days, couple of weeks ahead of all of this happening in New Zealand. So it was actually time for a bit of downtime. And so there was no, it would have been wrong for me to go, right, we are full noise training again. You just got to have those downtimes.
And I think people, when they have spare time, they think, oh, because if you're in a job which you literally can't do from home, all of a sudden got all of this time, and there is that mentality. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just beast it. I'll beast everything. But you're gonna be in for a bit of a surprise when you then have to go back to work when all of a sudden you haven't got 8 hours a day to train. So yeah, it's finding, hey, it's making the most of it, not blasting yourself, because touch wood, there's going to be some events that we target in the later part of the year. I'm sure there were a few people started with a hiss and a roar and may have just had to sort of temper their enthusiasm a little bit.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the training that I was given to most in the squad was recognizing that about being end of season and recognizing we need a little bit of challenge, but we didn't want to be in full noise training again straight away. So the focus the last few weeks has been very much a lot on frequency of running, short runs, but frequent. So we can do a reasonable amount of it, but overall low impact, low risk on the body, can get back into it pretty quickly. With the biking, lots of work at different cadences to hit some very small amounts of high intensity, do some lower cadence work, develop the pedal stroke, and really just get the body fully activated, ready to train again. And so the coming weeks are very much getting back into that swing of, dare I say, full training, but building it up again.
And just as you lulled us into this sense of insecurity, it's dreadful English, but you're now, before we sort of start to ramp it up a little bit, you're going to make us do a test.
Let's not call it a test. Let's call it, I can't think of a euphemism at the moment for that. Yeah, it's a test. Okay.
It's a test. Yeah.
And look, the idea here is that we've had these range of experiences, some people doing lots, some people not doing much, those who came off peak events, fitness has dropped, those who have just been building up again. Everyone's in a slightly different place. So it's our chance to actually see where we are at with our own fitness level for the training that's going to be coming up. And the most important thing with that is that it's okay if your 5K run time has slowed down a little bit, because we have been at end of season. We haven't been trying to hold on to peak fitness. For some people, look, having actually done some good training at the events, had a bit of a break, they've freshened up. Some people might actually do a really good time. We shall see. But it's all about that understanding where you are at right now so that the training you do is appropriate to that.
Yeah, and you talked about a couple of events that when they happen in some way, shape or form, you'll create a shape or form for them. And so I suppose that, you know, the test is needed so that when you know, any training from now after that, after the test is you know, specific and appropriate for people doing those events.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So we've got the two events that we're working towards. Now, whether they happen formally as events or whether we do our own squad version of them, we don't know yet. We'll figure that out. But one of them is a long trail run ultra marathon around the hills of Wellington. And the other one is the Wellington Tri Club's Winterman, a half Ironman-ish distance day broken up into different chunks. Midwinter, a lot of fun at a time when people normally aren't that very fit. I suspect this year, though, that people with less events and other things going on, that there may be a few fitter people for that one.
Yeah. So the word test, as you say, you know, you try and look for a different word because it does scare a few people. But there's a bike test, there's a run test. And most people, as you said, have got them in the schedule for sometime this week, tail end of this week.
Yeah.
So talk us through those two tests.
All right. So I guess the first thing is to recognize we're going to be testing. So we want you fresh enough to do a really, really best possible effort. So if you're training full noise up until the day before, then you're going to be carrying some degree of fatigue into those tests. So very much the next few days should be smaller, lighter, easier training. Keep the body moving, but let it freshen up so that you can hit those tests end of the week, full noise. I think it's really important right now to set the context is that, yes, they're called tests, but please don't be scared of them, okay? Don't be scared of the test or the result. We're not doing this to judge and compare people. We're doing this to help make sure that we can set some training zones for you and that the training you do over the coming weeks is appropriate to where you are at. So there's huge, huge value in doing those.
Yeah. And I can vouch for that. And I do these podcasts for free. So there's no monetary incentive for me to back up what Gerard has said. But the tests, getting those specific zones so that when you're doing running and you know what tempo is, you know what low is, you know what moderate, you know what hard is. I over the last couple of 3 years have benefited massively from knowing that I'm, and even forget physically, but psychologically, you know you're training at the right level for what that workout, whatever it might be, four lots of 8 minutes at tempo with 3 minutes easy in between, you're getting the most out of it from a run perspective. Obviously on the run one, Gerard, you sort of need to know the heart rate as well as pace because from memory, it's not that flat around Wellington usually.
Yeah. So what we're testing for, depending on what level of technology you use, we're testing for a couple of different things. Now, all of this assumes that you have some kind of GPS device on which to collect data and that you use that in training. If you don't have any of that technology, that's okay because we've still got our training zones established, the low, medium, the high, and we've got descriptions around those. So anyone can do workouts to feel based on what those descriptions are. But for those who want to refine it refine it to get a little bit more specific out of the training, then we're using this technology to collect some data, set some zones, and go do your training based on that.
From a run perspective, Gerard, we usually use the park run, a nice out and back flat lower heart park run. Would you suggest that for the run test, if you can, it's kind of an out and back and as flat as you can find?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely want flat. And look, I know we can't control the weather, but if there's an extreme wind day and a very quiet wind day at the end of the week, well, you might want to choose the quieter, the calmer day because that's going to give you a more meaningful result. And yeah, you're right. We want it to be flat. So you can just go at a really strong, consistent effort all the way because it's all about that consistency. That if you start too fast and blow out, you're not going to get the best possible result. If you start slow and gradually wind it up, you're not going to get the best possible result.
Yeah. But it is about giving it the fastest you could possibly do that 5K in.
Yeah. So look, the run, there's, I've actually given everyone two options. Now, what we do with park run is it's a race with other people and you're going at the best, the maximum effort that you can do over that 5K. The difference this time is we're not going to have all of those other people that you're running against. So I just know from my own experience and coaching others, it's such a hard thing to push yourself on your own versus when you've got all those people there. So I think it's still a fantastic test for those who are self-motivated to really let's see what the best 5K is you can do on your own and actually have a look compared with other ones that you've done in the past amongst other people.
Yeah, I was going to say I can see the motivation. It's not so much the motivation. You may well be motivated, but the fact that there's not other people, let alone other people you know, because when we did the park run, you kind of know other people within the squad who are a bit faster.
Yeah.
You might sort of put a target on their back and see how you go. But a real mental test
it is
to do it on your own. unless you know, I don't know what, you know, 10% faster than your normal best would be, and you send your 9-year old on a bike with a speedo and you sort of chase them for 5Ks.
That's actually a really good point, because people who have had to do this in the past, I've encouraged them to do that. So if they've got a partner, someone in your bubble these days, who can actually give you some pacing and some encouragement, that's a fantastic thing. And that's just definitely the next step up from doing it on your own.
And there are, within Garmin's, I think you can have the ability to set a pace. Mm. And then you can look at it and it'll tell you, estimated both in meters and in time, how far you are behind what you've targeted.
I think it's the different things. It's called different things on different versions of watches, but it might have been virtual partner or virtual race in the past. And yep, yeah, that's
that
right.
Sounds about right.
You can plug in a time or a pace, and then it can, each time you glance at that, you can see if you're ahead or behind of that. So that's a fantastic thing to use.
Or you can just ditch all the technology, go bonkers, and find somewhere to vomit afterwards.
And again, there's huge value in that. There are times when I've asked people to do it blind, to actually put some tape over the screen of the watch. So you just have to do it by feel and your absolute best that you can all the way through. So lots of options and some fantastic learnings in there. So although it's not exactly a fun test, it's, you're going to learn so much from doing it and giving it a good go. Now, yep. The thing is that some people are carrying injuries, niggles, or don't quite have the fitness to really go for a maximum effort 5K. So for those people, I'd encourage you to do a 5K nose breathing test. And it sounds like quite a strange thing, but the idea with this is that you close your mouth and you breathe only through your nose, and you're running, I describe it as strongly as you can for the 5K. And just to be clear about that, it's nowhere near your maximum effort, because closing your mouth, breathing only through your nose, limits how much oxygen can get in, and that limits your performance. So rather than a full-on hard-out 5K, think of it as a strongly comfortable run, but you're limited by breathing only through your nose.
Always just grab a mask if you happen to have one lying around at this time of the way the world is, and pop that on. No, I'm joking.
Practice at home.
Yeah. Okay, so that's me. I'm one of those people that's a little bit injured, so I won't be going. Yeah.
The purpose of doing the nose breathing is that is going to be somewhere around about the top of your low intensity zone. So knowing roughly we're in that ballpark, that we can go and kind of reverse engineer your training zones from that, knowing approximately this level for the top of your low, what does that mean for the other ones? It's not as accurate or as meaningful as doing a full-on 5K TT as fast as you can, but it's one step closer than nothing at all.
Okay, so once people have done that and sort of cussed and used some swear words about you as a coach, yep. They then have the bike test to do.
One more thing on the run, and that is we want to collect both pace and heart rate data from it. Now, the newer Garmin's that have a heart rate sensor built into the watch on your wrist, those are absolute crap. Sorry, Garmin, but it's scientifically proven by the triathlon world, I'm sure. So if you want to use heart rate data, you need to use a chest strap is the most common thing. There are various other devices, but yeah, don't rely on the wrist-based heart rate. That's just not meaningful data. So we can set both pace and heart rate zones. And pace zones are really good for when we're doing our short interval speed work on the flat, because the moment you start running a bit faster, the pace on your Garmin changes pretty quickly to reflect that, whereas it might take several minutes for your heart rate to come up high enough. Problem is that as soon as it's really windy or we're in the hills, that pace is irrelevant. The resistance of wind or hills makes pace irrelevant. That's where we rely more on heart rate. So collecting that data at the time of your test means we can set both zones. We've got those for wherever you're training in the future.
Understood. Yep. And as I said, I can't reiterate or, you know, say it enough that knowing those zones just gives you that confidence that when you are doing the training, you're in exactly the right zone for what the results of that training session are supposed to deliver.
Yeah, perfect. All right. So the bike test. Now, same deal. We want to collect data. In this case, some people are using training by heart rate on the bike. Some have power meters. So we want to do a test that is going to capture, kind of deal with both of those elements. There's lots of different ways of testing. Quite commonly, you might have heard of a 20-minute FTP test for those using power. And that's a really common one. The only problem with that is that at this stage early in the season, a lot of people won't quite have the fitness to do a really, really strong 20-minute effort. So right now, the main test that I'm suggesting to most people is to do an 8-minute test. So very much the same as the run, the 5K TT on the bike, is 8 minutes as hard as you can possibly sustain over that. And we're looking for your maximum effort that you can sustain over the whole thing, not dropping off at the end, not picking up too much at the end, just really, maximum for 8 minutes.
And have you provided a bit of guidance to people about what that might be this time of year? I know that's a lot of people to give guidance to, but yeah, that 8-minute one has always been one where it's not my favorite. You sort of start strong, you taper off, and then you try and finish strong. So it's a bit of a U shape rather than a flat line.
But those who have tested before and have had their data in the past, you can use that as that's where it used to be. Let me start somewhere in the ballpark of that. And after a couple of minutes, you'll know how you're going and you can adjust it a little bit higher, or a little bit lower, just depending on what's going on. Now, the problem is for people who have never done this test before, it's really hard to know the first time, how hard can I go for 8 minutes? Mm. It's just such an unknown. So there's a couple of things. Okay, let's have a go at it, see what we learn from that first time round. And it might take 2 or 3 times to get a really, really true result out of doing this test over the coming months. But we get a starting point, and then we can refine it as we go on. Yep. There is another kind of test as well, and this one is only for people who have smart trainers. So you're one of those lucky folk, Doug. There's several others in the squad. And the way of doing this one is that it's a ramp test, and because you've got a smart trainer, it completely takes control of the power. You don't have to think about pacing or effort. All you have to do is follow along and keep riding as it slowly ramps up the power. Every minute gets harder and harder until you hit that point where you can physically no longer go. And you know how pleasant that is, don't you?
Yeah, I was just, when you said all you have to do is just follow the, it's the one that I do because I have the smart trainer, and starts with a bit of a warm up and then, starts at a certain percentage and then goes up sort of 10 to 15 watts every minute, as you say, until the legs just cease.
And the great thing about this one is that, like I said, you don't have to really, as a first timer, fantastic. You don't have to think, you don't have to imagine how hard or not you could possibly go. You just follow along. And it's the kind of test where it starts out pretty easy and you think, oh, this is really easy. It slowly steps up and then all of a sudden it comes to a point where it is just, whoa, I've virtually hit the wall. And at that point, when you get to that point, that is actually where the test really starts, because it's how far beyond that point can you go, that every extra 10 seconds you can keep going is going to give us a more and more precise result. So it becomes hugely a mental test, but it really is only the last part, the last few minutes that get into that really, really intense stuff.
And if you've got someone who can come in to the room for those last couple of minutes and provide some appropriate motivation, or you can magically have the best motivational song kick in for those last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because invariably when I've done them, I do, you sort of finish, you think, oh, I'm done, and you stop, and then you think, I might have had 15 seconds more in me, but it's too late at that point. So, it's easy, sat here, you know, doing a podcast to say, just push yourself. When you think no, just go that little bit more. But I guess, Gerard, you know, it needs to be the maximum you can possibly deliver for you to give the, you know, the right, the best zone information for future workouts.
That's for sure. And that is the beauty of testing as well, is that so many people shy away from it. They are scared of it. But you do really learn what you are capable of and what some of the self-talk is like when you get under real pressure. And over time doing them, look, they don't get any easier. I won't lie about that. But you get better at doing them because you get mentally stronger. And that's a skill that you can use in your racing as well.
You might want to be careful who you get in the room to motivate you, because some of the self-talk that comes out of my mouth towards the tail end is R-rated.
Yeah. All right. So look, that's what we're doing with testing. It's in training plans for most of the squad and a number of the individuals I'm working with, just because it's a good time to do it after we've had our downtime, after we're building back into it. I've got a video to come with details about what to do with that data, actually going in and getting the data you need, calculating your zones, updating it in Training Peaks and in Garmin, all of those things. So that's coming out for the squad to follow this podcast. But otherwise, it is really go forth and get ready to test.
Yeah, and I think the important thing as one of your coached individuals is, you know, life's been a bit disrupted. So take this opportunity as a little event in the calendar and just go for it. As Gerard said earlier, you know, there's no judgment. I'm suspecting most of us will be down on what our previous bests were.
Yeah.
Just because of the time of year. So accept that. It's a new base to then build into.
And that's a really important point, actually, because it's just not possible to keep progressing and getting fitter and fitter in a linear way all the time. That you do have to have those real peaks in your fitness and then just a trough to recover from that. And then you can take the next peak higher and then you recover again. It's if you're just always trying to go up and up and up forever, you'll hit a plateau and you'll get stuck very early on in that process.
Yeah. Might be, we should throw the idea out there. It'd be good to get some feedback from people. I know Gerard will get it anyway, but it'd be interesting to hear about where people did their runs and how it went, and whether they had anyone with them chasing them. I don't know whether they were chasing someone or being, you know, steal someone's handbag and then run like hell. That would be an interesting one. And also the slightly harder one is I think psychologically is that the bike test, because you kind of, I don't know, they just, you're there and you're just going hard and it really does mess with the head, the ramp test particularly, because every time it clicks into another level, you just think, I might just stop.
Yeah, you start questioning yourself. But what a great thing to practice, because in an event, you're always going to have come to those points as well.
Yeah, well, I'm slightly injured, so I'm not doing the test, but appreciated all the advice you've given everybody else, Gerard.
So from Doug, you're saying, do as I say, not as I do. That's normally my line.
Isn't it the best coaches? Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Hey, just to wrap up quickly, in summary on all of this, there's three things. Number one, please do embrace the challenge of testing. I know it can be a bit of a scary thing for some people, but take it on as a real good challenge that you are going to embrace and you're going to give it your best. Once you've done that, you can clear yourself of judgment, because it's not about comparing you to anyone else. It's not about saying you're good or bad. It's just fact. Where am I at right now? And we do all of this so that we can set up success for your training by training to your current fitness, not your dream fitness, where you think it is or where you really want it to be. It's like, this is where I'm at now, so this is how I'm training for that, based on that.
Yeah, it's just, and again, I've said it three or four times already. Probably one of the best, the biggest benefits I've got from training in a squad and with Gerard is that specific nature of both bike and run performance. So knowing what wattages and then what paces, it just means that the you know, when we're back in the real world and we've got to work 9 hours a day, that when we do have time to train, we're just doing it so accurately to our level of fitness. So I can't say enough about just embrace them, go hard, and the benefit is in the specific nature of the training from here on in.
Well, I think you are the perfect example of that, Doug, that two PBs in the last season, so it definitely does work.
Okay, there may have been some money changing hands to make him say that.
No,
it's not been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure as always, Gerard.
Thanks, Doug. More to come from us next week.
Thanks, mate. See ya.